Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. My name's John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas, and we're glad that you're here with us again this morning. This morning's a little bit sad because we lost a good brother in Christ, David Barton, this week on Tuesday. Good brother in the Lord. He'd been with the church here in Las Vegas for about 40 years, and we are going to be so sad at his parting. And yet, at the same time, we are going to rejoice because we know that he is at home with his Lord and our Lord Jesus. And we just want to let the family know, especially Gail, this morning, that we love you, that we're praying for you and for comfort and for peace, and that you would just take all of these things to the Lord and rest in him. Your strength and your rock and your redeemer. One of my favorite passages in the book of Hebrews comes from Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." You know, I want you to know this morning that as I read that passage, I am so thankful to know this Savior. I'm so thankful to know this Jesus who saved my life, who shared in my humanity, who died for me on the cross, for my sins, for the penalty I deserved. I'm so glad that he was willing to taste death, that he paid that penalty of death for me so that I don't have to. Not physical death, but spiritual death, separation from God because of our sin. Jesus paid that penalty. And because he broke the power of him who held death, that is the devil, Jesus now holds the keys to death, as it were. And so I don't have to be afraid of death anymore. I'm not afraid of death anymore. I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid of it. And I know that death is just one of those things that's going to bring about for me and for everyone else who has the hope that I do in Christ, a life of everlasting joy and no more pain and no more sorrow and no more of the things that we have to deal with here on the earth. No more temptation, no more trial. Spurgeon once said of a man named Baxter, he said, "When Baxter lay dying and his friends came to see him, almost the last word he said was in answer to the question, 'Dear Mr. Baxter, how are you?' 'Almost well,' said he." And so it is. Death cures. It is the best medicine, for they who die are not only almost well, but healed forever. Now, only those who are in Christ can be absolutely confident about that kind of cure, because death is of no fear. to those who know the author of life. And so, again, we're saddened because of the loss of David, and yet we're thrilled to know that he's not suffering anymore, that he is with Jesus, and that we'll wake up some morning as well and say good morning all over again. Want to just listen to this first song this morning. It's called In the Garden, and it's sung by the Celtic Chorus, or the Celtic Songs of Praise is the album it's from. And I want to use this as kind of a precursor to Psalm 116, where I want to share some other thoughts with you from the Old Covenant. That passage from Hebrews 2 is just amazing, and I hope it blessed you this morning. But I want to go back into the Old Testament and also show that, hey, God has given mankind hope from the very beginning. And it's something that if you don't have that hope, I hope that as you listen to these words this morning, as you listen to this first song about being in the garden where Jesus went to just pour himself out before the Father, that if there was any way possible other than what he was about to suffer, that it could be done. But he, as well as we, should be interested in doing God's will rather than our own. So let's listen to the Celtic Chorus sing In the Garden this morning.
on, he bids me go through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. He tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other. Yes, the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
All right, we're back this morning. And let's turn back to Psalms, to the book of Psalms, which, of course, Psalms are songs. And so these were songs that the people of Israel sang. And Psalm 113 through 118 were known as the Hallel Psalms, or the Hallelujah songs. And these were songs that were sung during the festivals and the going up. They may have been some of the very songs that Jesus and his disciples sang right before they went out to the garden there in Matthew 26 and verse 30. But I want to focus on Psalm 116 this morning. And before we get into the whole of it, I want to just focus on verse 15, especially in light of thinking about our brother David. Psalm 116 and verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. That is such an amazing verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. You see, God knows that death is just a temporary thing for one of his children. God knows that the death of his faithful servants is just a graduation. It's just a crossing over. It's just the next phase of life, if you were. And after we have endured, patiently endured, all the trials and the persecution, all of the heartaches and the tears and the sorrows and the pain and everything else, again, like we read at the beginning of our broadcast there, death is not so much an enemy as it is something that frees us to go to be with Christ. And so therefore we have no fear of it. We always walk in such a way that whenever death comes, we're ready for it. And it was so good last Sunday to see David here with the church and just so alive, if you would, and talking and greeting people and talking with them, sitting up in his wheelchair. It was so amazing. I've told several people this week, it was almost like the Lord knew he was in kind of a transition from that old body to the new one. And God was already giving him some new strength before death came. So we're just so thankful for that. But again, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. And let's go back to the beginning of Psalm 116, and let's just read through this whole thing, because there is so much to this. You think about when it was originally written, and we don't have a record of who actually wrote this psalm and the conditions of it, but it seems like it's pretty easy to figure out as you go through it. Someone who has been in deep anguish, deep distress, and almost to the point of death. and he called on the Lord. They called on the Lord, and the Lord delivered them from these things, and just reaffirmed, renewed his vow and his purpose to the Lord. And I want you to think about that as we read this morning, that death is always one of those things. It's so hard. It's a separation. We won't see the person again here on earth. We won't get to wake up in the morning and say hi, or see them when we come together to worship the Lord or sing. One of David's favorite songs was, "Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go." And, well, he doesn't have to sing that about down here anymore because he's with him now. And that's awesome. But, you know, we who are still left, who remain, we need to continue to be faithful servants of the Lord. We need to continue to, anywhere with Jesus, we can safely go. We're going to walk with him. And we're going to rejoice in him, and we're going to turn to him, and we're going to praise him when things are good, and we're going to praise him when things aren't so good, because he's the Lord, and he is good, so good to us. Psalm 116, verse 1, the first thing the psalmist does here is he acknowledges his great love for God who hears his prayers. Listen to verses 1 and 2. "I love the Lord." I hope you can say that this morning. And it's not just words, but you really mean it. "I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he has turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live." Man, isn't that good? I love the Lord, and I'm going to call on him because I know he hears me, and I know he cares about me. And I'm going to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness because it's the best way to live. I hope you know that this morning. And I hope if you're listening and you don't know that, that you will seek the Lord, that you'll pursue him, that you'll find out about Jesus, the one who can take away your sorrows and your guilt and the pain that so often comes with life. "I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he's turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live." Now in verses 3 and 4, he goes on to talk about, you know, what this prayer was all about. "The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me." You know, I'll tell you what, sometimes it feels like death is right there. And I think we can probably all understand being overcome by distress and sorrow. If you haven't gotten there yet, just like Harold Buckles used to tell me back in Salem when I was, 28, and he was 88. And he would say, "Well, just stick around, son. You'll experience it one of these days." And so I can still hear him say that. But I'll tell you what, in the difficulties and the sorrow of life, that's when we need to call on the name of the Lord, isn't it? That's when we can. And I love it because it's just so full of feeling here. "I called on the name of the Lord." Lord, he just directed it right to him. "Lord, save me." How simple, how sweet, and to the point, right? Well, that's what we need to do, isn't it? Lord, save me. I need it, and I need to continue to be saved by you and your grace and your mercy. And so whenever you are overcome by distress or sorrow, even distress and sorrow because of death in somebody else's life, call on the name of the Lord. He'll hear you, and he will strengthen you. Verses 5 through 7, the psalmist praises the God who answers him. Listen to verse 5. "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." I want you to know that God is a God of compassion. He's very gracious. He's very righteous to all men. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants all men to be saved. And some people say, what do I need to be saved from? Yourself, your sin, your lack of relationship with God. That's what we all needed to be saved from. But thank God that he gave us that opportunity, that he was willing, even though we didn't deserve it, that he extended his grace and his mercy to. When I was brought low, he saved me. And it's good to know that God is not just interested in saving rich people or poor people or any kind of race or color or anything else. God wants all people to be saved. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Aren't you glad that God is a God of compassion that saves us? And when we come to recognize that and realize that, we need to rest in Christ. Jesus is our Sabbath, if you would. That's where our soul needs to rest, because the Lord has been good to us. He is good to us. He will continue to be good to us as we faithfully keep our eyes fixed on him. Now in verses 8 down through 11, here's his testimony. Here's the psalmist, what he had to say about this salvation. Verse 8, "For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar." That's how it ought to be. We ought to turn to God, and all of the things of men just are nothing. That all men are liars when it comes to the truth of God. We need to trust in the Lord. Verse 12, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord." I hope that's your plea. I hope that's your call. I hope that you love God and serve him because of his grace. I hope you give willingly and cheerfully and wonderfully your whole life and every part of it, because God has been good to you. The grace of God has been good to all of us. And so let's just keep walking day by day by day. Gail, this next song is for you. Sister, this is Patsy Cline singing "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Let's make it our desire to always have that closer walk with Jesus. Amen? Let's listen.
Walk. Just a closer walk with Thee.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee.
Just a
closer walk with Thee. Is my plea,
just a closer walk,
daily walking close to
Thee.
Let it be,
just a closer walk,
dear Lord, let it be. When my guide me gently, safely on.
As we come to the end of the broadcast this morning, I just wanted to go back to Acts chapter 2 for one more verse. Boy, I sure hope and pray that all of us will strive to walk close with the Lord every day. It's God who deserves that walk of faithfulness. It's God who deserves our life and our praise and our worship and everything good. In Acts chapter 2, Peter quoted David from Psalm 16 when David was looking forward to and prophesying about the Messiah. He says, "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You fill me with joy in your presence." And I hope all of us out there this morning that are listening, that are Christians, are filled with the joy of Christ's presence on a continual basis. That love of Christ and the joy and the peace that we have in him just makes such a difference in our lives. Let's share that with those who might not. Hey, we want to encourage you to come and visit us here at the church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. So 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and then also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we meet in the middle of the week to encourage and build each other up. So, love to have you come out to any and all of those things so we can all be made known about the paths of life, that we can all be filled with joy in the presence of the Lord. You can also find out about us from our website. That's thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and there you can find messages from the past, radio broadcast. You can find out kind of what's going on in the church. You can find out the things that we're teaching and preaching about, and a way to get in contact with us on our contact page. You can send us emails or reach out to us by phone or whatever works best for you. We really, truly desire to share the great love of God with our community, with the people that we come in touch with. We're so glad that God has saved us. We want to share that same love and compassion and mercy with others. So come on and join us again on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, or Wednesday evening at 7 is when we publicly meet together here at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. Hey, thanks so much for listening this morning. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.